Fuck, we recording this or what?
Wait for it.
Where's the good-looking cousin? There he is.
All right, everybody from Thank the Light Wheel of Time Land, here is what we're doing. Just like Amazon, we're dropping a three-parter. They're all going to kind of run together. I'm going to release them, hopefully simultaneously, if not simultaneously, like boom, boom, boom.
And we're doing all Dragon Reborn chapters. Oh, no, the show came out. That's what we're doing. My bad.
The show came out. So they're all going to kind of run together. Like, we're going to try to keep it somewhat like first episode, second episode, third episode, but they are going to run together a little bit. In order for my sanity, I need to keep them kind of tight so I can get these edited and get them out to you. We're going to leave a lot on the table. All right. So just hang in there. We have all year to talk about these episodes. These are our first takes, our three-parter. So like, I literally might cut Justin off mid-thought, start the next episode, and we're going to pick right up where he left off. So just hang in there. You're not from Oakland, Jeremy. Don't root it in. Oh, you're rooted in Sacramento.
Close enough.
On that note, so I'm just going to do one intro. You're going to hear this intro for all three episodes. You're going to hear the same outro for all three episodes. The one thing I do want to say up top real quick, head on over to patreon.com/thankthelight. Check it out. We're going to keep giving you sweet, awesome Wheel of Time content for free. If you would like to help support us for $3 a month, for that $3, you will get a sticker. Woohoo! Who doesn't like stickers? But even better than that, every single month after that, for every month, forever, as long as you're giving us the $3, you will get a bonus exclusive Patreon episode where we will watch something that isn't the Wheel of Time and unfairly compare it to the Wheel of Time. And Jeremy will talk about how much better that show is than the Wheel of Time, because this is not the story that he grew up loving.
I can't wait.
You're absolutely right.
Thank the light, everyone. Everybody, welcome to episode 3. That's okay, Justin. We're going to start the Sean Chan.
I have way less shit to talk about on episode 3, so can I just keep going?
Me too. I was like looking at my notes. I was like, oh, I got like 3 notes. This is 3.
All right. So episode 3, we're going to finish episode 2, and then we're going to talk about episode 3.
I was no Sedai. I will be your... I knew this was fucking coming, Sedai.
Oh.
Why did you kill my best friend? I already DM'd him and said it was terrible. And I said, why?
You know what I said?
And I said, we come on the show now.
Ooh, no!
I said, no. I said, why would you do my boy this way? I'm getting drunk right now because Uno.
I
love you.
Well, Guy Roberts can be on the show
Guy,
now.
Guy! Love you.
Guy Roberts is going to be our fourth leg of our tripod now.
At least he didn't get Glenn, right? He got curb stomped instead.
That was the dopest.
I will say it was a pretty wicked death. I was like, I saw it coming. Like I said, you'll hear it first episode. Lisa, 5 minutes in, she goes, oh, that motherfucker's dead.
Dead.
And I was like, what?
The only reason I thought, I was just like, they're not going to kill. Like, he's such a cool character. Like, they got to keep him around for a minute.
Here's the thing. That guy is involved with a ton of, I don't think that the truth speaker, who is the person who speaks for the Sean Chan ruler, that's his wife in real life. I think her name is Jessica Boone.
Oh.
They are both involved in tons of like theater stuff. She and him have written some plays. I just don't think that they have time to commit 6 seasons to this. And they're both kind of like expendable characters anyway, is my thoughts. They did give him a really kick-ass death. And, you know, you got to see him really fucking some shit up with Ingtar while they were fighting, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, does that death canon at all? Like, is anything? I mean,
No, dude, he lives through everything. He's still alive
now. I just mean the horn stomp, the curb stomp.
No, nothing like even that. Remotely like that.
That is one of the coolest things I've ever
It was kind of cool.
Seen.
It was pretty wicked. It was a worthy death for sure.
Fuck. Yeah.
Finishing up last episode, so far the music has been pretty fucking awesome. Like, I'd say like first Star Wars level epic. I thought it was cool. Not the standard stuff, the stuff that they've obviously like made for this season.
Okay.
And were you guys surprised that Nynaeve's accepted test came already?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of early. But
not if they're at the towers. Like, because they were at the towers, I knew they weren't going to spend. I mean, the fact that they stretched.
I thought we'd get it end of episode three, you know, or middle of. But I was like, dude, the fact that they hit it end of episode two, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was kind of early. But you got to think that in the books, right? She goes right from freshman to junior varsity. She never plays freshman ball. She's like, I'm going straight to JV.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, a few things from the last episode that we really got. So Moraine kind of does a big exposition dump and she goes, Rand's alive. Daniel Henney killed it right there because you can see his absolute fury. He's upset. He is very, very, very mad that she lied to him.
Yeah.
Or let him believe that Rand was dead, because he's obviously gotten close to Rand. You know, in the books, you don't see it as much in the show, but you can tell he's very mad. The fact that she is passing his bond already.
Talks about it.
She says, I will pass your bond forcefully if you don't accept it. She passes his bond right there.
I don't think she did.
I think she does, dude. They don't show up, but I'm pretty sure she does. I mean, maybe it's set up for what comes with Nynaeve's test that's coming up that we're going to talk about. But I feel like she passes his bond to Alanna right there. I got to pee, dude. So you got
to
talk.
Agree to disagree. Yeah, go. No, you just guys go. We'll do a pause. Justin just dropped some truth on us.
Oh, I could hear it. And he's wrong.
I agree.
There's only because the show is going to make a big fucking deal out of passing a bond. I don't think it's going to be that casual. Like, there's going to be weaves and colors chest pounding. Like,
you're right. You're totally right, Des. In the books too, Alanna bonds Rand against his will.
Oh.
And so I don't think that they're going to have Lan and Rand be bonded to the same woman, which you can have Alanna do one or the other, but you can't have her do both, in my opinion. I just don't think that would work out very well.
Yeah.
Plus with the other two warders, I just don't think that's in the books. One of her warders gets killed in the fourth book. And then she, in the fifth book, I believe, bonds Rand. Maybe the sixth book.
Okay.
She bonds him. But does it like just out of nowhere? She just like walks up. Hey, you look tired.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And he's like, what the heck did you just do?
Yeah. She's like, she basically is like, let me cleanse your fatigue, and then bonds him.
And he's like,
so
what?
Let me tell you why I don't.
He's super pissed.
Think I'm wrong. So I think they're going to pass the bond because I think that Rosamund Pike's not going to be in this fucking show after like a couple episodes next season.
I agree with that, probably.
They're either going to make her disappear the way she does in the books or some other way. And she'll come back later. I'm not sure how they'll do it exactly because of what goes on in the books. But if they can't afford to pay her that whole time, it will help them get better visual effects budgets done over the next few seasons when she's gone, which they really need. And so she's going to be gone soon.
I don't know if it works that way, though, Justin. I think like...
Really?
Yeah, like if...
Budget's a budget, man.
Yeah, but
labor is part of your budget.
I think it's more to give,
like, you don't have to pay her. Fine, that doesn't go into your budget. That's like, oh, that goes back to Amazon.
Maybe I just meant like, you know, if you have a certain amount of money and you don't have to pay an actor a lot, you can put it into other things.
Yeah,
but I just think that because of the story, I think that they're setting that up for her to disappear sooner rather than later, and so I don't think that we'll. She might make it to the end of season three.
I think you're right, but I don't think it's because she's a rookie quarterback. And once she gets her, you know.
No, it's just story-wise.
Right. I think it's more just that's going to be the motivation to really, like, make Rand do something or accept something. Because, like you said, she goes away in the books, which allows Rand to really step out of whatever part of her shadow he's still in. And so
absolutely.
And learn to appreciate her for what she was as an Aes Sedai and as a friend.
Yeah.
/ mentor.
But also, she's also a movie star and she's going to have to do movies. So she's only putting those off for as long as she is getting paid to do the Wheel of Time. And eventually she's going to be like, listen, I just got like four more movies and I either have to turn them down or take them. And I'm going to take them and you can write me off the show.
But actors like, no.
Yeah. And she's like Johnny Depp method, dude, because she doesn't do anything half-assed. Look at anything she's in.
No, she's always great in everything.
100%. She's so
But good. Some actors like that. Like, you know what? I'm just going to take a paycheck for 5 years. Like, I don't want to fucking go from set to set and, you know, who knows? I'll spend a year in Australia and then I'll spend a year in Japan. I'll spend a year.
I'd like a job for a while.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm going to, you know.
But she's never been out of work. She's always had movies going on.
Right. Which takes her all over the fucking place and she's never home. And, you know, and so for her.
And you know what? When you get to her point in her career,
I don't think her home is in Prague.
Right. When you get to her point in her career and it's not an age thing or a money thing, I think it's kind of like what have I done? What do I want to accomplish thing?
Yeah.
I think you get to a point where it's like a quarterback who's like almost done and wants to win a Super Bowl. He's going to go sign.
Yeah.
You're going to find the best spot for him. And if they're really passionate about the project, then that's where they're going to be. And she strikes me as that type of,
it looks like, I don't know why she would have done 3 so far if she wasn't planning on reading all 14 fucking books, which,
right,
that's probably $1 million.
Well, I told you, Yosha, the kid who plays Rand, is already on his first reread. He's read all the books.
Oh.
The reason why he has a shaved head in season 2 is because Yosha suggested it.
Yeah.
So he's getting to sit in on meetings and stuff, which I think is super cool.
Does he have a producer credit yet?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I don't know.
Okay. See, episode 3, we get into Nynaeus testing, which is fucking, you know, basically every test was more or less completely different than the books, right, Jeremy?
Pretty much, yeah. Completely different.
The one was similar where she goes back to Eamon's Field.
Yeah.
People are kind of sick and there was a new wisdom in Eamon's Field in the books and she was an actual wisdom and she was just shitty.
Yeah.
In the show, it's Matt's mother and she's like, well, I'm doing my best. I just ease their pain till they die.
You left us.
Yeah, you left us, which is interesting. She's, you know, Matt's mom sending people to long sleep for sure. While her tests are different, I'd say they're equally heartbreaking. Jeremy, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Damn it.
Were you disappointed in the testing?
No, I'm fine with it. I'm sorry, man. I just realized my
Jesus Christ.
My GarageBand stopped.
Welcome to episode 1, everybody. We're going to talk about A Taste of Solitude for 40 minutes.
Damn it.
I've been recording for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 100 minutes.
Nice. Okay. Anyways, the question you were asking me, Justin, please ask it again now that I'm thoroughly pissed.
Her tests were equally heartbreaking, I thought, even
yes,
though they were different than the books. What do you think?
I agree. And as far as the tests go, they don't, in my opinion, they didn't have to be 100% book accurate. They just needed to convey what would actually, the things that she was going through.
Right. That's what I think.
I don't know if I liked the fact that she gets stuck basically in the machine. that wasn't my favorite part. I liked the fake.
Yeah. The ghost in the machine was a little, I mean, that kind of does happen to her in the book to a certain extent, but the Aes Sedai don't leave. There's like, nah, fuck it. She's dead.
Yeah.
No,
like,
no, they just
they don't even try. It's like, well,
lied.
They just lie.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Nynaeve didn't actually get stuck in it.
Yeah. No, she did.
No, she didn't.
No, she did.
What?
She totally did.
Yeah, she did. She didn't come out.
She didn't come out.
They haven't allotted time and she didn't come out.
So there's the fake out when she comes out.
She came out eventually.
There's the fake out when she comes out.
She goes in and then she comes right back out. And I said to Lisa, I go,
that's a fake.
This has to be her test. There's no way. This has to be a fake.
Yeah.
Because.
And then she decides she doesn't want to take the ring. Remember? So she's like, I don't want to do this. Then she leaves. Then she runs into Lan as she's leaving.
Right.
And then if you look behind her, there's an arch that appears.
Holy shit. I missed.
You missed that, huh?
I thought Leandrin was just being a bitch.
No, no,
no. No, she turns back and looks at the arch and she goes like, what's that?
Yeah. There's an arch.
Turns back to Lan and then that's it.
And then the
what?
So then what? You didn't watch the last of the episode then.
Oh, you know what? I didn't finish episode 3.
I was going to say, you didn't finish it then.
Sorry, everybody. I was too busy getting here to talk to you.
Because at the very end, Egwene is trying to open the arches again, and her and Elaine are having a conversation.
Yes, I did see that. I saw that. Yes.
You saw that? Well, then something happens. Nynaeve, there's a Trolloc attack, but it's like Matt shows up, Perrin shows up. She has a daughter. And
Matt was looking fly in his gear, too.
Yeah, Matt was like all rich.
Yeah, Perrin was like babysitting her daughter.
It's like the babysitter.
He was like, Mr. and Mom. He was like nanny. He was like the nanny, like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, then Trollocs show up, and then she like channels after everybody else is killed, kills all the Trollocs.
Of course, everybody was dead. Way to go. Good
timing. She picks up her daughter, tries to run through the arches, and then she runs through. There's no daughter. She's just her. And like Egwene wakes up, but they fell asleep.
That was pretty hardcore, actually.
Yeah.
I called it. I was like, she's going to run through and the kid's not going to be there.
It's not going to be there. Yeah. It's a virtual reality machine.
That kid is dead. It's not Perrin's kid, and it's not Luz Theron's kid. It was Nynaeve's.
So you now know what happened to that baby. You know what happened to that baby.
Yes.
It never existed in the first place.
What's the deal with that baby?
All right. Talk amongst yourself. I'm going to finish the show.
Okay. Dude. So the village taking the Damani.
Oh,
yeah, that was pretty crazy.
That was pretty hardcore.
And the Damani, the little Damani chick with the ball gag and walking around and being like,
Well, and the Xiao Chen just looked wicked.
She's looking like Maggie. She's like, this one.
This one does it. This one channels. Take her. Put the necklace on her. Fucking Uno's dead. Fuck.
The wolves coming in, freeing Perrin from the Xiao Chen are taking him away, and the wolves coming down and fighting everybody. That was kind of cool.
Well, that was Elias as much as the wolves, but
right.
I love how he's like,
but Loghain, like, I mean, Loghain obviously could have stopped that, right?
Follow him. He'll tell you.
Not Loghain. You mean Ishmael.
Or Ishmael could have totally stopped that, right? So that was...
He totally could have stopped that, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's one. That's a big fat 100. He could have just...
Yeah, it's... This was, I think, well, my opinion, this was the weakest episode of the three. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I would say one was the best, two was second, and then three was pretty subpar. I'd have to go back and watch them again, and we're going to, obviously. We'll go back and watch it with subtitles, too. And just see like if there's anything I missed. Because sometimes they'll put like information in the subtitles too, where you're like, oh, that's that guy. Oh, I didn't know that was that guy or that lady.
Yeah.
And there's always Easter eggs and stuff. And you can tell like even just watching it as a hot take. And I saw so many Easter eggs that like I brought up a lot of them, but I know there'll be more.
Yeah.
Just the Xiao Chen just look fucking wicked, dude. Like they just look, they're different than the books. They have them looking more insectile in the books. But they look, I mean, they look really creepy, like a scary, angry ant. I don't know.
You know, the one thing that I didn't really like, Justin, and I think you'll agree with me on this, is the Perrin is not, like from the beginning in the books, Perrin is just ferocious. He might not be the tough, like the best fighter or anything like that. But if there's a fight going on, he's going to be in the middle of it and he's going to be taking people out. And he's kind of neutered almost in this, where he's just like, oh. The way the leaf doesn't work, running around.
It's funny too because the kid who plays Perrin, Marcus Rutherford, I think he kind of like, he's like, Perrin just kind of sits in the corner and cries all season one. Like that's his words, you know? And so I thought it was pretty.
That's not how Perrin is.
It's not. And you know, I think that they're trying to not, I mean, you saw him just like, it made me really think of this scene with the Gray Man when he just tears the leg off the chair and then beats him to death because he just grabs the stick and beats like three Xiao Chen to death. You're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know. So I did dig that.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see like Perrin just grabbing some guy who grabs Perrin, he just grabs him, just snaps his arm and like, or just takes his head and bashes it just because he is brutal. Like that is the way he fights.
Yeah, just like Chewbacca style, just rips dude's arm off and then like decapitates another dude with the other guy's arm or something. Just crazy.
Matt's kind of quick. He's very quick. Rand is fluid. Perrin is just brutal.
RPG, Perrin's the tank.
Perrin is the tank.
Who is Perrin going to lose to turn him into that man? Because in the show, like something's going to...
Because his wife didn't cut it.
Exactly. Something's going to have to flip that switch. He's not just going to wake up one morning and decide to be a fucking killer.
I mean, I have a theory. Jeremy, you want to go first?
I'm going to say it's Hopper.
Oh.
Really?
I think it's Hopper.
It could be Hopper. I think it's going to be a combination of Hopper, and then he starts to care for Fail.
Could be that, too.
And he's afraid of losing her, and then he's just like,
yeah,
the way of the leaf never works.
He's going to Hulk out.
Yeah, dude. Eyes yellow. He's gonna, his skin's going to turn yellow. He's going to look kind of like She-Hulk with the long hair.
So we know that when you go full Wolf Brother, your eyes turn yellow permanently now, too, with Elias. So that's kind of cool. It's not going to be... like, you know, they have it right now with Perrin. His eyes turn yellow and then they go back to regular.
Elias, not at all really how I pictured him. I pictured him more as like a grizzled old white dude, but I thought he was just perfect.
He did. No, I thought I liked him a lot. He's Omar.
Thought it was awesome.
Omar coming.
So what the... So, you know, let's just not get into it. Well, everybody, just FYI, in case you're wondering, we are definitely going to do the commentaries again. So that's when we'll dig in even deep. And because I really need to watch episode 3 again, because I just absolutely did not realize that Nynaeve didn't come out until.
I mean, she comes out later. Gwyn and Elaine's kind of.
Yeah.
Gwyn's kind of trying to channel into the arches, and it doesn't work because they need 3 Aes Sedai.
Because they pour the water over her when she comes out the third time.
But that's part of her vision or whatever, yeah. You know?
And. People need to understand, too, Dez has had a crazy day. He's doing family stuff. And then in between family stuff, he's still watching Wheel of Time. I went to Yosemite and I told you guys, pound sand. I don't even care. I'm not going to watch the show. Not only that, I'm not going to even call it in. I could have called in, but I didn't. But Dez is a trooper, man. That guy has committed to the show.
Jeremy's just like, I have zero, you know, fucking... will commitment to show up to the things I say I'll show up to. And I don't care if we succeed or not.
Yeah. I was like, fuck Wheel of Time. I saw Half Dome today, bro.
I hate Wheel of Time. So Loghain, he can obviously, well, before he was gentle, one of his talents with the capital T is he can recognize men that could channel just by looking at him. Usually there's a bit of a test, at least in the books. This will come into play later. Black Tower. You know, he is the one who starts to travel and start to look for boys and men who can either learn or channel later on. Sorry, spoiler a little bit.
What do you think about him kind of being crazy already? In the books, that's not how he is. He has like no issues.
I know. Well, you don't find out his madness until the very end, and you realize that his madness is... We can't really say this without being spoiler, Jeremy.
I don't remember what you're about to say, so...
Well, he gets... You know, he's obviously gentle, so he has the power taken away. He regains his ability to channel at a certain point,
yep,
which is thought to be impossible. And his madness, his biggest fear, his madness is that he'll have the ability to channel taken away again, or he'll be a captive again, like he was for a certain person later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how... You know, there's a person called Andrel. His madness kind of manifests as like if he holds Sidene for too long, he starts to see like shadows trying to get him. And he's like a very rational, you know, person. And he's like, I know they're not real, but I know they're going to get me. Like he can't fight it. You know, there's another guy who he's like, there's fades following us, Nynaeve. Like you can't see him right now, but... I can see them. I have a talent for it. You'll just trust me, okay?
Yeah.
I can see him even when they're in the shadows. And she ends up healing his madness, which is thought to be kind of unhealable, which is
impossible,
which is pretty cool too. So those are all things that I think they're kind of setting up.
Maybe, yeah.
I hope, because I think there's things that are important. And to round out, to flesh out some of the arcs and the compassion and the empathy that is so important to the series, I think. You have to have some version of it anyway.
Do you think they're just done with the intro? Do you think they skipped it?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it. I didn't see it once.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought maybe they would skip episode 1 like they did last season, but then it just never showed up, so.
It's like adding time to the show. It's good.
The cold open on episode 3 was 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the full
20 minutes. It was legit. I looked at it. It was 20
That's
minutes.
Some fucking Battlestar Galactica shit there.
Let's see. I just think that they were kind of, you know, when Nynaeve did have her test, she did have to do some stuff when she came out Jeremy, do you remember? They're like, I don't know what, you know, because she channels way more than she's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
She does a bunch of shit she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And they chastise her for it afterwards. So I feel like they just kind of, for the sake of drama, let her stay a little longer and skip the chastisement, which I'm also okay with because it's more kind of bullshit that you don't need.
Agreed.
I was anyone else upset that there wasn't a single Steadfast?
Yes.
Not a one.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for the be steadfast one fucking time.
Just one. Yeah, I thought, okay, they're saving it for the third.
Just
for
one.
The third time. Like maybe when she came out, like a whole episode later.
Or like right before she came out, like Egwene's like be steadfast.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. Something.
Well, but they don't say be steadfast, but they do say the way comes but once.
I don't care.
Yeah. So they just cut out the be steadfast. That doesn't bother me.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's right though, Dez. I guess that doesn't bother me.
He's correct. That doesn't make him right.
Listen, I'm never wrong. Let's be honest.
Wow. I mean, look at the tank top he's wearing. He thought that was a good idea.
Hey.
Nobody can see him.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Okay. All right. I take it back.
Hell yeah, bro.
Never mind.
Does it have meatball stains on it, too?
Oh, if it doesn't, it's gonna.
The night is young. It's tomorrow. Hey, everyone, in case you're wondering, it's tomorrow and we're still recording.
Yeah. Hey, it's Friday. We all know what that means.
It is Friday. I'm getting tired too. So why the fuck is, what is Leandra doing with Matt? Why is she watching him sleep? You know, they Shawshank and meet. Him and Min meet, and they're definitely a little flirty. So
totally. Did you guys see the new Flash movie?
Oh yeah, I got an episode on it, baby. Check out Time Pop.
Okay, so the new Flash movie. There's a scene because you know Flash can like move so fast that he can like walk through walls.
Yeah,
he does that. He does that, but it's right in front of the Raquel Welch poster. And I was like, I looked at my wife, and I was like, "You get that reference?" She's like, "No." I was like. Come on, Shawshank Redemption.
You get this reference? We're divorced.
You're sleeping on the couch tonight. Oh, wait. I'm sleeping on the couch? Okay. I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
One of us. Oh, me? Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, me? Okay.
I think another dead giveaway about Leandrin is that she doesn't really freak out when Egwene basically kind of channels aggressively at her.
Yeah.
Don't walk away from me. It's like,
okay, well.
That's not how people act who get channel. Okay.
Okay. Easy. Easy. She's also like poking the bear too, right? She knows she has like knowledge on her, but she don't have the power on her.
Well, like Egwene in the books, she thinks she fucking knows and she don't.
Yeah.
So the fancy dinner that Celine and Rand.
Oh, this annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, because this isn't in the right place, right? Again?
It is kind of, but not really, no. And she wasn't there and it's
not for the right reason.
Yeah.
They're trying to throw out like, you know, the political intrigue.
Yes.
Right. Jeremy, the Deus de Mar was like, I get that they're trying to throw it in there, but like that was a really fucking half-hearted attempt unless they flesh it out a little more later because it's just like, oh, cool. Ran through the letter in the fire. That happened in the book. Cool.
It did.
Yes. These, you know, it's.
When Bale and Moraine are talking at the beginning, they mentioned the game haphazardly. And then it comes back at the end of episode 3, but it's still just like, how are they fucking up Rand's storyline the most? Like,
I don't know.
Half-ass Perrin and Matt and, you know, kill, you know, whatever. But like, you gotta get Rand's right, man.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I was so excited to see Rand in the red coat. And then it was such a lame scene. And then she's like,
if you played all the Rand scenes back to back to back to back, you'd be confused.
You wouldn't have a full episode.
And you wouldn't know what the fuck is going on. And you can't, like the rest of them, like if you cut out all Perrin scenes, you can see him moving through the world and learning things. Like Rand is just beating up people for no reason, going to fancy parties that we can't understand how he's invited to.
I love this.
Like it would make more sense if he was hanging out in a random town, getting drunk, trying to forget that he's the fucking dragon. Then
yes.
Yeah,
it made more sense to me that he was hanging out in an insane asylum and she somehow gets him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen, nobody liked this. Nobody liked this.
It's like, I'll give him a job and watch the idiot.
So it's obvious that nobody. So the book people And so Justin is a book person who is really open to the TV show. I'm a book person who is not that open to the TV show unless they're going to do it by the book. And Dez is just a TV guy. He doesn't even care about the books. None of us liked it. Yeah. None of us. We just hit the whole spectrum and none of us liked it. It's a bad sign, guys.
Well, and like I said, you know, there are things that like if they are like setting up things that happen in the next five episodes, fine. But she's like, oh, don't miss the fireworks. Is that supposed to be our fucking callback to the Illuminators? Because fuck you if that's all we get.
And then that's all you get.
I saw that there was an Eludran, not an Eludra. I'm hoping it's somehow her father who passes down the knowledge of fireworks to her or something. Because I'm not going to be stoked if that's one of the characters that I really won't love if they switch genders. Because Eludra is very much a female. And she looks like she could be a twin to Leandrin is one of the things they point out. One of the things I forgot about, Rand hasn't seen the horn. So when they start talking about a hunt of the horn at that party, he has no idea of the ramifications of it because he wasn't in Faldara when they dug up the horn. He was in the Blight with Moraine. I thought we were going to get the Matt and Eggy reunion. And then Matt just was like, deuces, buddy, I'm out.
You look so sad. I'm out.
I don't understand that, really. I'm going to go... Actually, you know, it's a typical trope, right? It's like Robert Downey Jr. in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's like flirting with the one chick. They're vibing, and then he fucks her in.
It's exactly like that.
Typical Matt.
And then he gets his finger cut off. Yeah, I just, that whole thing, it kind of runs counter to how Matt is, too. If he saw someone who was hurting, he'd be like, ugh.
Great, I gotta go give him a hug.
Now I got... Exactly. I got to go talk to her. She looks upset. That's
totally.
That's how he is.
Yeah. The reluctant hero for sure.
Definitely.
I wish they needed to allude to Matt's luck some. I wish that Min.
Yeah. Hasn't come up yet.
I mean, obviously they're setting something up. Hopefully it pays off. But like, I feel like Min should have seen Matt like rolling dice or something like that. Like
Yeah, that was I really thought we were going to get because Matt has four. Probably really important viewings, one of the first times that she sees him.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks about the eye on the balance scale and I think ravens.
Yeah, something and something else.
And like one or two other things that are really important to his arc. And
half the light of the world to save the other half of the light of the
right.
world.
Right. I just thought that, you know, we might get one of those, you know.
Speaking of ravens, whoever did the Foley on this fucking show needs to calm down on the birds a little bit. Like I think they were in a dungeon once and I heard like fucking Tweety birds.
Lisa was like, are the frogs out again? I'm like, no, that's like a bird or a frog or something on the show. And they're like they're literally in a dungeon. I'm just like, is it locusts?
I don't know what the deal is with that.
I don't know. Did Ishmael bring locusts? Is that one of the five powers?
I don't think we need the last 4 minutes.
Justin.
This show's.
Justin might need it.
Justin, are you good?
Yeah, I do, because I just need to make fun of fucking Elaine for being like C-3PO for like the last fucking 10 minutes of the episode. She's like, oh, the odds of channeling into this arch won't bring her back. And Egwene's just like, shut the fuck up and never tell me the odds. I'm sick of your fucking, just fucking shut your mouth. Sick of your face. She was so mad at her, and I loved it.
And they were just like passed out, like they're trying to save Egwene. They think Egwene is probably dead and never coming back.
We need to do something.
Nynaeve.
Yeah, Egwene and Elaine are just.
They're so fucking like 14 year old girls at a slumber party. It's like, we got to do something to change the world. Right.
Whoever falls asleep first gets sharpied.
I drank too much Mountain Dew. Fuck.
Yeah, Nynaeve immediately comes through the arches and then grabs a bowl of hot water and sticks her hand in it and makes them pee themselves.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Do you say Leandrin?
Yeah, no, I said Nynaeve. I meant Nynaeve if I said Leandrin.
I think Leandrin's bad. I think that's some red Aja shit, right? Penis on your forehead and stick your finger in warm water.
Sharpie all over your face. Fuck you.
I had a little hate fest there a little bit at the end. I'm really excited for the show. I'm trusting that the writers know what they're doing You know, right now it's just so easy to see the sharp lefts they're taking from the book. And like, and we're probably going to get like four straight episodes that are nothing but Rand to make up. You know, we got to find out where everyone.
I hope so.
We got to find out where everyone else is. So when we spend half a season with Rand, we're fine. You know, I mean, especially if they're going to be. Yeah, I'm really excited to see where it's going. But I got to tell you, it's easy to be a little pessimistic.
He's quitting after season two. He says.
No.
Listen, if it goes real bad, guys, this might be the bipod again.
No, we will need you more than ever if Justin and I are like, this is awesome, and you're like, okay,
I might need to temper your guys' enthusiasm.
I mean, honestly, Jeremy's been kind of the voice of reason tonight, so that's weird.
First three episodes, not too shabby.
I'm not upset about it. Like, the first one was amazing. I loved it. And the second one, like I said, they petered out a little bit. But there was enough stuff that I think was, you know, world building and setup that they just, you know, they just haven't had the time to do. And so they're really racing. And, you know, that's one of the things that people have said the most. They're like, look, there's going to be some stuff that gets, you know, combined and missed and has to be glossed over a little bit, because what we really want to do, it sounds like what they're really trying to do is get the crux of the story, which would literally be end of Dragon Reborn to the end. It's like they're working really hard to get to where they need to be for Shadow Rising. And I think that if they have any chance of finishing the series, they had to do it, because it's so much in season two and they got hamstrung so much in season one. I think they had to cover a lot of ground this season, and so far I'm okay with how they're doing it. You know, it's not my favorite, but I also understand they've got to do it this way to get to where we want them to be. And so I heard people, oh, I'm looking forward to season three. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I am looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to it because I think that they're going to do a good enough job this season to get to where we want them to be next season in a way that's okay with everybody.
I mean, the next episode, we're at the halfway mark.
I know. It's kind of crazy, actually.
So if we get a big battle in the next episode, I take it all back. You know, like, because I understand we got a lot of ground to cover. I just can't believe if you're going to cover that much ground that one of the pieces you're not covering is a big battle. Because that's, you know, I don't want to be an all action or nothing guy. Like, I love relationships. I love getting to know this world. I love meeting the people and all that stuff, but it's also, you know, about fantasy fighting.
Dez, can I ask you a question real quick?
About six inches into the left. Oh, wait, something else.
Did you like Game of Thrones?
Way bigger than 6 inches, buddy.
I did. I yeah. Well, it feels like that when it's up your ass. I really liked Game of Thrones, and I watched.
So in the.
Jesus, sorry.
And I got on late, and just like this, I never read the books. I never will read the books. And I got into it really late just because I didn't have HBO when the show started. And it just took me a while to catch up.
That's good, because they're depressing and they still haven't finished the last book. So,
well, the reason I ask is because the first two seasons, there's no big battles. There's no battles at all, as far as I can remember. There's nothing. And then the reason they did that is because it was to save money.
Yeah.
But it was great storytelling. And that's honestly, for battles, I don't really care about battles all that much. I want good storytelling. And these stories are great.
Yeah, I was kind of glad that there wasn't crazy action, but I'm kind of a little worried that the back half of the season is going to be like, jeez, whoa.
Yeah. And honestly, when you got guys like Lan, it could be like Indiana Jones and the guy with the sword anytime. Like, you could just be like, hey, this guy is going to stomp everybody.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool. And that was a 3-second fight and totally awesome.
You want to make some shit up? There's just marauders out on the trail, just jumping out on fools every once in a while. Like Perrin and Uno and them, they could have gotten in a fight at any time wandering down that road instead of just.
And I'll kill the whole brigade.
And what is Perrin's clan doing constantly is showing up a day after a battle.
You're not wrong.
Where's the fight? It's over.
It was yesterday. Sorry. We couldn't get our camera crew set up.
Dumbass. Go collect some arrows, asshole. We got a couple minutes, I think. So what do you think we're going to see? Let's just say episode 4. What do we think? What are we expecting? I think we're going to see White Cloaks.
That, there's a good chance of that. I think we'll get a little more Rand, I think. I'm hoping.
I think we're going to get I'm going to call Avienda episode 4. Perrin will rescue her from the cage.
I'm thinking episode 5. I don't think she's close enough yet, but I'm saying episode 5.
You think so? Because where else would they go now that him and Elias are taken off together?
I don't know. They could do a whole episode where they're barely in it too. Like Rand in the first episode, you know?
Yeah.
Because they have to move Rand's story along. They really do. And he's just kind of been stuck not doing really anything.
I don't see them moving Rand's. Where will Rand go from here? Where's his story next? Because will we have the...
Well, he did just burn down the fucking town. He's got to go somewhere.
I feel like the Battle of Falm is like episode 5. Maybe episode 6.
No, I think that's end of the season, man.
I think so too. I think the next episode, I think we might see.
Then it's episode 7 at the latest, because I guarantee you, we're going to have the major big battle in episode 7, and the episode 8 is going to be explaining where we'll be season 3.
Possibly.
The big battle finishes up, you know, episode 8.
Yeah. I think the next episode is going to be all of them out on the road alone, because Aggie and Nynaeve and Elaine have to leave the tower. They'll probably take Min and Matt with them, or Min and Matt will get away a different way. But yeah, somehow we got to get them out of the tower. Rand's going to have to leave this town he just burned down from his fire jizz. And then, you know.
I know. Is post-coital like, oh, shit, I burned the house down.
Perrin and what's his name, you know, is going to be with the Seanchan until. But now that Elaine and Egwene and Nynaeve, like, are they going to trust? They can't trust Leandrin now. Fuck you. You lied to me and said my friend was. Oh, no, she didn't lie. She didn't lie. Okay, I have to stop this. Thank you.
Yeah, because there's only.
Yeah, we know we have a lot more to talk about. We have a lot more time to talk about it. So just stick with us. Keep listening to us. What you're getting, bang, 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 3 episodes. And we're going to get the rest of these episodes out to you quickly after we watch the shows. And then we're going to just jump right back into a rewatch pretty much after we're done with this. We're going to go into our commentary rewatch where we'll break it down in real time. So just, and not to mention that Fatty is going to be all over Twitter. So you just get up on that Twitter and you can talk to Fatty.
I've been on there a lot.
All day. I know. I've been like, usually I look at it a little bit, but I know it's just spoiler rich these last 2 days. So I've just been like, nope, 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 nope.
The community is actually pretty good, you know, but it's pretty good.
Well, even just people guessing, like, you guys are so far ahead of me book wise that thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. We have and will continue to produce Wheel of Time content for free, but if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciated. We are asking for $3 a month, and to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. We do not want to put any woke content behind a paywall, so these episodes will consist of us discussing a different fantasy movie and unfairly comparing it to the Wheel of Time. You will also receive a Thank the Light sticker, and if you are one of the first 10 Patreons to subscribe, you will be able to select the movies we discuss. I don't want to give away too much right now, but I'm just saying that as of this exact moment, we have 0 patrons. So sign up right now, give us $3, and we're watching your movie in September. If we get 30 subscribers by the end of season 2, you will all receive a Thank the Light t-shirt. That's right, folks. Let's get 30 people on there. We'll get y'all a t-shirt and thank all of you for your patronage. If you like the show and would like to support us for free, we just ask again, like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. And also in September, I'm not going to hype the other podcasts, because I'm just going to tell you through September, what I'm going to do every Wednesday, folks, is I'm going to drop another podcast from the Sounds Awesome Network. So I don't know what order I'm going to do it, but every Wednesday for the next 4 months, you're going to receive a Truth Not Trends health and fitness podcast, a That Fitness Couple health and fitness podcast, a Time Pop, which if you listen to the Time Pop that just came out yesterday, when you're listening to this, you will hear Jeremy and Justin discuss a time travel movie with myself. And one of those weeks, you'll also get an All the Answers, which is Katie is a real honest to goodness Aes Sedai. She will weave your brain together.
She has the foretelling.
And I will just say, may they find shelter in the palm of the creator.
May you always find water and shade and peace favor your sword.
Yeah, nerds. And so keep your fingers crossed. The season started off. I'm giving it a C. And
he doesn't hate it.
I don't hate it, but there's room for a lot of improvement. There's also room to go way downhill.
If you study a little bit, we can get a B, no problem. If you slack off and go to the party,
yep,
yeah, D minus. So
you want to be me in high school? You're going to go to that 1.8 GPA?
Or do you want to be me, 2.8? Woo! Two.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys serious?
Oh, yeah.
I can't have graduated with the highest GPA out of the three.
I definitely had the lowest.
Gotta be. I had like a 3.3.
Hey, Justin, you wanna know a secret?
What?
I didn't graduate high school. But you all out there, you're welcome. I did graduate from Sound College, so you're welcome.
Do you have a diploma from high school? No, nope. But I do have a college diploma.
Exactly, I do.
Please don't cut this. Please leave this in. Leave this in.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
There's your stinger.
Doesn't matter. It can't happen.
Why not? It's bound to come up.
It's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her fallopian tubes could handle his sperm? I guarantee he blows a load like a shotgun right through her back. What about her womb? Do you think it's strong enough to carry his child?
Sure, why not?
He's an alien, for Christ's sake. His Kryptonian biological makeup is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. If Lois gets a tan, the kid could kick right through her stomach. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid. The only way he could bang regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That would kill him.
How's it I go from the verge of hot Floridian sex with Brandy to Man of Steel coital debates with you in the food court?
Kyrgyzstan is not part of the food court.
Well, of course it is.
The food court is downstairs. The cookie stand is upstairs. It's not like we're talking quantum physics here.
The cookie stand counts as an eatery. The eateries are part of the food court.
Bullshit. Eateries that operate within the designated square downstairs qualify as food court. Anything outside of said designated square is considered an autonomous unit for mid-mall snacking. Now, if you're going to wax intellectual about the subject, holy shit.